And a boom headshot, and welcome to Getting Into Geekdom number 3 with yours truly, Matt and Miles. Miles, what is up?
Not too much. I do like the self-introduction. I could introduce you, you know, but that's fine.
That's not how we do it here. You know that.
You know, I am doing great. It's been a little rainy today, but besides that, the sun is shining somewhere, I'm sure of it.
Well, it's funny because we were complaining about it being really cold, and now it's like warm, like 60 degrees. This will be 60 degrees tomorrow.
Well, I think we learned something. I think we can actually control the weather through our podcast.
I mean, I just thought it was the chicken wizard that lived downstairs as controlling the weather, but, you know.
I have no clue what that means.
Well, have you met the chicken wizard?
I have not. I definitely have not met the chicken wizard.
I mean, the chicken wizard is a pretty powerful being, and
really?
You should. Faith knows him, so you talk to Faith. You should ask Faith who the chicken wizard is.
It sounds like a D&D character, so unroll. I'm a level 7 chicken wizard.
I've got to cast global warming. Waka waka. But
how are you doing, Matt?
I'm doing great. I'm doing great. Classes are done. I've been staying up late playing games and, you know, doing a whole lot of nothing. I mean, my girlfriend today actually watched the part one of the Fellowship of the Rings extended edition today.
The extended edition? Isn't that like 4 hours or something?
Something like that, yeah. Part one ends right when they, you know, create the Fellowship. That's it. So it's like
is it really? Oh yeah, it is, isn't it? You're right. That's totally where it ends.
Yep. And my girlfriend was like, "Really? We really have to put it the other disc?" I was like, "Yeah, we do. It's like playing old Final Fantasy on the PS or PlayStation 1.
Well, it's like, what movie is that? It's like the last Harry Potter or the second to last Harry Potter movie, which I didn't see him. I just want to clarify that right now. But if I would have seen it, I would have known that it's like Voldemort gets the wand, Dobby dies, and it's like, we're going to get him. And then it goes credits. I was like, oh.
Yeah, I'm really against splitting movies into two. I just don't like it.
Is that why you were so upset about Twilight?
Yeah, I was pretty upset. I'm a pretty hardcore Twihard. And, I mean, I really enjoyed the birthing scene, but I really wanted to see the end.
Have you seen it, then? I haven't seen it yet.
No, I've not.
My wife's going to make me see it, but I haven't.
I'm trolling like a mug. I mean, part two, isn't the second part have a lot of fighting in it?
Yeah.
I don't know the vampire
court. To be honest, I can tell you, honestly, it does not.
Oh, okay.
I mean, they might add it, but if I'm not mistaken, the book, which once again I haven't read, I'm going to make sure I keep my man card a little bit, but I think it's just a big standoff, if I remember correctly. Like, they all get ready to fight, but no one actually fights. I don't know, but you know what? We're not here for Twilight, you know, so screw that.
We're not here for Twilight, but we are here to help our listeners discover things they might not have normally discovered without our help. So, Miles, why don't you kick it off?
I think I will. Well, my choice this week for TV is actually one of the classics. At this point in time, next year, this show will be 20 years old, which just blows my mind. But it's the original X-Men animated series, which is, I would say, based loosely off the comic books, at best.
The glory days of Chris Claremont.
Exactly. Now, if you haven't seen it, it is all on Netflix right now, which is awesome, because you can watch every episode. I think there was like 79 or 80 of them, something like that. But, I mean, to tell you how far
they're a little dated.
Yes. No, they're very dated.
It's hard for me to watch them.
It has, I think, in my opinion, the best, like, how I picture Beast every time. He's very intellectual. You know what I mean? He quotes poets and stuff while he's beating people up, which is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, the main villain, Magneto, right? Do you remember Magneto's name in the animated series?
Not the animated series.
It's Magnus. His first name is actually Magnus. Yeah.
Well then.
him and Professor X were actually doctors helping people who, what'd they say? They were both doctors helping people who were suffering from, like, gorilla attacks. And I don't mean, like, the monkeys. I mean, like, you know, gorilla warfare.
Oh.
And they tracked someone down to help them. And then apparently Magnus's family was killed by the gorillas. So he flips out and, like, tries to crush them. But so I'm like, Magnus? Like, I think it's, like, the worst name ever. But it is. I mean, you have to watch it. If you're a geek, you have to watch it. If you want to be a geek, you have to watch it. Because everybody's seen it, whether or not you like it or not. Everybody's seen it. But it's one of my favorites. But they've done some other animated series. They've done a bunch of them. A couple that come to mind is that they remade back in 2000, so 8 years after that, which that came out in 92. But 2000, they made X-Men Evolution, which is just – it's kind of like they kind of went from what they did in the movies. So you have, like, two people who are older and everybody else is, like, a student. You know what I mean? Kind of like First Class. The First Class just came out this year, so.
Well, see, I was actually – gosh, what grade was it? In, like, seventh grade when that show came on TV.
So you were all about it then.
I really liked X-Men Evolution. There's actually a part of that TV show that me and my friend still have, like, an inside joke to this day from an episode of that cartoon.
See, I tried to watch it. I thought it was crap.
I mean, it wasn't great. I mean, but I don't really care for a lot of the Marvel animated stuff.
Yeah,
so.
I'll give you that. I mean, most of it's not that good.
Compared to Batman, the 90s Batman cartoon.
What are you talking about? The 90s Batman cartoon was awesome.
That's what I'm saying. Compared to that.
Oh, yeah.
Like, even the X-Men cartoon, compared to that. Ooh.
Well, I think, I mean, for the most part, discounting X-Men movies 2 and 3 and then Origins. But I think in general, Marvel makes better movies than DC.
Correct.
Every time. But DC has better animated series.
Mm-hmm. I'll agree with that any day of the week.
But yeah, X-Men Evolution basically has, like, you have, I can't think. You have Cyclops, and he's like a teenager. You know what I mean? Jean Grey's a teenager. So that they're having their, you know, their child angst at the same time as they're using their mutant abilities. But they still go to, as what I understand, they live at the Xavier Institute, but they go to a public school. Which makes no sense. And then they threw a black guy in there, and his name's Spike.
Was he shoot wood?
He shoots spikes, yeah.
It's not spikes, it's like, I think it's like his skeleton. It's something really weird he shoots out of his arms and stuff like that. I remember
that. Well, they have, and then that's what brings me to the new one, is that they have, the most recent is Wolverine and the X-Men. And I just watched all of it. It only had one season, which sucks. It was 26 episodes, and I loved it. Basically, there's an explosion right when the thing starts. And when everyone kind of wakes up, the school's destroyed. A lot of the X-Men are kind of missing. And then Professor X and Jean are completely gone. And they were the ones who kind of, like, you see them suffering the most during the explosion. And then they're gone. So then Wolverine tries to basically rebuild the X-Men by himself. So it's called Wolverine and the X-Men because he's in charge, basically, of the school. And it's based off a comic book series. It was actually called...
Well, it's not...
Go ahead.
Oh, never mind. You go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, it's based off the series, it's called X-Men Regeneration.
See, I've heard of that. I haven't read it.
Yeah, it's the same kind of thing. It's a little bit different because they're a little older. Like, you have Kitty Pryde, and she is the, she's like the headmistress of the school, while Wolverine's the headmaster. But in the animated series, Kitty is still...
Oh, you're talking about, no, it is actually not based off of that. I get what you're saying now. The Regenesis is the, like, current, I want to say, like, overarching story of the X-Men universe right now. So it's not based off that.
I thought it was way more than that.
No, Regenesis is now happening.
Are you sure?
Positive. I have an issue upstairs.
Oh, then I'm going to trust you on this one. I defer.
No, Wolverine the X-Men right now, it's not based off the TV show. It's actually the event just happened in the X-verse called Schism. And basically, the X-Men had a island out the coast of San Francisco called Utopia, where we know that was their nation.
Yeah, you're right. I'm totally right.
And basically, Scott, you know, he has his X-Force and everything still, and he the Sentinel comes, and all these kids get attacked when they go to San Francisco to this museum. All these kids get attacked. And a Sentinel comes to Utopia while these other people are at the museum, and Scott wants all the kids that are still on Utopia to come out and fight. And Wolverine's like, no, you're an idiot. We're not making these kids soldiers. These kids are still kids.
Which is, Scott's that like, kind of thing cracks me up, that, you know.
Yeah, well, he's trying to be a better person. You know, Wolverine, he's trying to be a good guy.
Yeah, exactly.
And Scott's like, no, you know, we have to fight for our survival, blah, blah, blah. So basically Wolverine says, all right, screw you. I'm taking the people who want to go with me away. We're going to go back to the mansion and rebuild it.
Mm-hmm.
So they rebuild the mansion, and he calls it Jean Grey's school for talented gifters instead of Xavier's.
Jean Grey's school for higher learning.
Higher learning, that's right.
Mm-hmm. See, I thought they were connected for some reason. I mean, obviously the name Wolverine and the X-Men would probably do it, but...
Well, I mean, it's the series I'm reading. I got the first issue of Uncanny, the relaunch of Uncanny, and I didn't like it. Mr. Sinister, whatever his name is, he's in it. He's a bad
Sinister,
guy.
Sinister, yeah.
Oh, yeah, Wolverine and the X-Men. It's written by a writer I really like, and it's been a lot of fun. It actually reminds me of like the old 90s cartoon, you know, when they're having like, you know, food fights in the cafeteria and like just random fun.
Yeah, yeah.
Like they're always just fighting. I mean, they are fighting because there's a new Hellfire Club and stuff. So they're still fighting, but it's back to them just kind of enjoying each other and kind of having that kind of camaraderie.
I'll
with
have
each other
to
again.
Borrow that from you. Most definitely.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, the animated series, anyway, basically because of the explosion, Professor X is in a coma. And he contacts Logan Wolverine from 20 years in the future and says, hey, everything's really screwed up. I need you to fix this. So they get directions from Professor X in the future while he's in a coma. And it's really good. They start off with – he gets a lot of the X-Men back. He gets Kitty Pryde, Iceman, Beast kind of never left. And then they have a lot of my favorite, like Gambit's in it. Love Gambit. Gambit is 100% not on a side except his own, which I love because that's what Gambit should be. But I think my favorite moment in the entire thing is that at one point they go to the future, and so you see like Professor X like you know basically fighting for his life, and then Wolverine shows up, and you know Wolverine's known as Weapon X, or he's part of Weapon X. I mean I guess it depends on what series you're reading, but there are four little quadruplets that are identical to Wolverine. Like, they're all women. They're all little girls, like 19 or something like that, but they all have, instead of three claws, they have two claws on each hand.
And so they're all X-23?
Yeah. And they're just unstoppable. Like, they are literally, like they'll all just attack one of the, oh, wow, what is the giant robots called?
Sentinel.
Thank you. The form will just attack a sentinel, and then they'll just kill it, and then move to the next one. And it's just awesome to watch. I was like, man, I want that in a movie, you know?
Well, oddly enough, the roster you told me is very similar to the roster in the comic book right now.
See, that's what I'm saying. Like, that's why I think they're same. And then they do have a girl named in the future named Marrow who throws her bones, and that's what made me bring it to it because, you know, you said that's what Spike does. He throws bones. Well, that's what Marrow does, and her name's Marrow because of, like, bone marrow.
Well, it's like their psychic force is a gray, like I don't know all the gray family tree, but there's like a gray that came back from she came from the future to the past, and she's like somehow related to Jean Grey. So you know she's there
Rachel?
With Wolverine. It might be Rachel.
That's Cyclops and Jean's daughter. I think so. I'm pretty sure, because she also goes by Rachel Summers.
Yeah, I don't know if it's Rachel Summers. I think it is Rachel, though. So it might be the same girl. I don't know. But she's, you know, of course, redhead and everything. She's her psychic power. But yeah, like, Iceman and, like, just straight up threw the moves on Kitty Pryde and totally gave her a big old smooch.
Nice.
Big old smooch on the lips.
Hmm.
Wolverine gonna get jelly, bro.
Yeah. Well, I will say one more thing about it, but their psychic they have on the team, since they're looking for Jean, is Emma Frost shows up.
So she's not with Scott?
Emma?
Yeah.
There's a little love going there, but Scott...
So is Scott there?
He is.
Why isn't Scott leading?
Because he's so distraught because Jean is gone. He is basically like this drunken guy half the time. Like, his outfit is just... it's kind of gay looking, to be honest. He has like a full hood on now, like a hood helmet kind of thing that has room for his visor, you know, and then he wears a trench coat.
Wow.
And then like some episodes he cleans up, but he still wears the same X-Men outfit, which I think was kind of dumb, but I was like, whatever. But that's my TV show. But you know, you can't just have. You just can't watch TV. I mean, I do for the most part, but I've actually been reading a couple books, and so my book choice for this
Books.
Week, it's on the Oprah Book of the Month Club.
Oh wow! All right, mm-hmm. I'm excited.
Aragon. No, I'm
saying.
I don't think this would make the Book of the Month Club. It's the new Revan novel. If you are Star Wars dork, geek, what have you, like myself, I'm both. I have the technical specs and the models, you know. But it's the Revan book based off the Knights of the Old Republic series, particularly what's actually off both of them, both of the games, the first and the second, the one made by BioWare and the one made by Obsidian. So far, it's pretty good. It's really short. I was kind of disappointed. It's only like 400 pages.
Well, so was Deceived, though. So
yeah, but it's almost like a picture book. How short it is. You know what I mean? I'm not trying to say like I have to have a book that's like 2,000 words, but I just started reading it, and I'm like, I'm on page 100 already, so I'm a quarter of the way done. But so far, I really like it. They have a lot of they talk about a lot of the people who at least were in the first game. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Basically, what you're having though is Revan keeps waking up with these nightmares, and he's trying to figure out. He keeps picturing this planet with thunder and lightning, and he can't know. He doesn't know where it is. They say that basically he did not get back all of his memories from the game, and he basically had all these not crazy ideas, just ideas the Jedi's didn't really like about how they really should embrace love and what was it? Love and peace, I think, or not peace because they always say peace. But like love and happiness, he thinks they should use to channel the Force. Like the Sith use hatred and fear. You know what I mean?
They really use love, do they?
He wants to use love. He says love.
Oh, he wants. To
he
use
wants
love.
To use love. But the Jedi, basically all the Council members said no. We're not. You know, we're not doing that. And they want to ban him. But because he's the hero of the galaxy, they can't. So they basically say. You know, we'll let you stay in good graces with the galaxy, more or less, if you just don't tell anybody about your opinion. So he's having these nightmares about this planet, though, and so which makes me happy. He meets up with Candorus, and Candorus was my favorite. Love Candorus in both games. If you played the second one, he actually goes by the name Mandalore the entire time.
So from our friend show Torocast, he's one of JJ's favorite.
Is he really?
Characters, I think, right? JJ always talked about Mandalore.
I don't know. I mean, I know he likes Mandalore. I mean, I just love Candor. I think his character was very well written. The voice actor is great, because I think it's the same guy. Well, he's done so much stuff. I can't even tell you what he's in. But the voice actor of Candor is a lot of different work. Usually the same grizzled kind of voice. You know what I mean? He doesn't change it. He's just so recognizable. But the plot so far, anyway, is that the Mandalorians, when Revan originally beat the Mandalore at the time, and Mandalore is really just a title, whoever is ruling the Mandalorians is called Mandalore, whether or not that's his real name or not. They usually throw a tagline on there. So Revan beat Mandalore the Ultimate, which he beat him before the game actually starts, the first game, that is. So after he beat him, he took his helmet and hid it. Now, the helmet is what the original Mandalore, the guy whose name was Mandalore, wore. So you can't rule, basically. It's basically like he took the crown and hid it. And you can't rule without the crown, so everything's in disarray. So it comes out that the Mandalorians are getting ready to – they're on a planet looking for the helmet. So Revan and Candorus and then T3, because you can't go anywhere without T3. Mm-hmm. And then Bastila are getting ready to go to this planet where they're looking to basically find it first, or if need be, stop whoever does find it. Because some of the Mandalorians say, hey, let's keep fighting the Republic again, you know? And the other half say, let's not. But whatever side finds it first kind of determines what everyone has to do, regardless of whether they want to or not.
Yeah.
But that's how the book's going so far. I mean, I'm real excited. I mean, I know it goes a little bit further. There's going to be a gap halfway through, and then it takes over for the Exile, who was in the second game. But so I'm pretty excited. See how it goes.
That's not canon.
You know it is.
Obsidian.
They basically said it happened. because it's not like Obsidian made it on their own. You know what I mean? They had LucasArts approval. So whether or not
but they wrote the story, though. It's not the BioWare story.
It's not the BioWare story, no, but it is Star Wars story, unfortunately.
The ending of that is so ridiculous.
Basically, the gap in the book is where the second game takes place. If that makes sense.
And interesting. Then, yeah, yeah.
So I haven't got there yet, but I'm really hoping it explains how the Exile ended up on the Ebonhawk. That'd be awesome. Or how Kira got on the Ebonhawk. But but you know, I'd recommend it. It's not the best written book. A lot of the things the author writes is just kind of stupid. Like,
well, he's also written Darth Bane, though. And Darth, you know, those are highly acclaimed Star Wars books. So.
See, I don't know. I just don't like. I mean, maybe I'm just nitpicking. You know what I mean? But just some of the things. And I haven't read Darth Bane yet, which is sad. It's on my to-do list. But I've been a Revan fan since the game. You know what I mean? Since it came out in 90 something.
Yeah.
I've been 90. I don't remember. But I've been so excited to just read the Revan book that when it came out, I've kind of put every other thing on hold for the moment anyway.
Well, and for the audience, before you read this one sounds like it stands alone pretty well, but definitely look into the book before this called Deceived. I really like that one. It's short, but I had a lot of fun with that book.
I liked it. I was a little upset because I wanted to name my ship Fat Man.
Can you not?
I'm guessing because the guy is if he's in the book, the books are basically written to provide extra backstory for the game. The MMO, Star Wars The Old Republic, coming out.
Which early access is next week.
Very soon. The early access is in
the 15th.
15th, so 9 days from now. Mm. The game releases in 11. No, game releases in 14. That's how math works. Here's a math lesson, everybody. 20 minus 6, not 11. Join us next week, and we'll figure out other numbers are not 20 minus.
We're not good with numbers on this show.
You don't got to be smart to be a geek. I just want to throw that out there.
Now, a nerd is a different story.
Yes.
Nerds. All right. Well, I'm going to finish this up.
All right.
Sound good?
Let's do it.
So just like last week, you know, we can see we're just keeping the same formula with TV books, and I'm doing games and movies. So to start with video games, I'm going to start with one of my personal all-time favorite games that most people have heard of, but is getting to the point where it's getting it's getting pretty dated. I won't say a little, it's getting pretty dated. Counter-Strike. I played so many hours of Counter-Strike to the point where I had carpal tunnel in both of my hands.
I don't think that was from the Counter-Strike, man.
Basically, Counter-Strike is kind of the I don't know how do you put it. It was the Call of Duty in the day. When it was really popular. It's still popular now. It's still one of the most played first-person shooters in the world. The current iteration is called Counter-Strike Source. They're about to release another iteration called Counter-Strike Global Offensive, which is going to be put on the PS3 and the 360, as well as the PC.
Are those
going to
be cross-platform playing?
I don't know if they've officially announced that yet. I'd love it to, I don't think they'd do it for competition-wise, because I don't care what you say, keyboard and mouse will kill a controller any day.
I agree with that. I was going to say, I thought you were going to pull the Xbox joysticks placement is better for first-person shooters that I get every day.
No. But Counter-Strike, you know, it seems very old school for people who play Call of Duty to go back now, because you do not regenerate health. You do not.
No.
You die very quickly, you do not regenerate health.
Forgive me, is that the game where if you get shot by your own team, you get to penalize them?
Yeah.
I love that.
I mean, and sometimes, like, it won't give you the option sometimes. Like, if you're, like, in a firefight with a lot of people, it won't do it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you might have just got caught in dude's line of sight.
Yeah.
But if someone goes up and shoots you in the head, you can just slay them right there or take all their money. Which the game uses money, and you go through a menu and you buy your different weapons and your loadouts and stuff every round. You only respawn once everyone on your team or their team's dead, and then the new round starts. There's a couple modes. One's defusing the bomb, and then one saving hostages. There's a VIP mode, but you know it's not like Call of Duty. You can't go hide behind a wall and regen health. No, you'll have one health sometimes walking around, hoping not to get shot in the hand. There's also no "I'm going to stab you in the foot and kill you" that Call of Duty has. This game's very unforgiving, but it's very. If I just play it, I get nostalgic because I put so many hours of my life into that game. And my brother would sit here on the computer when he still lived with us. We'll sit here on his computer, and I'd play from like 1 p.m. when he was down here on the computer to like 2 a.m. the next day playing Counter-Strike. It was basically WoW for me back then.
I just wasn't good enough at it. I would get shot and stabbed, and people would spray paint me and teabag.
Yeah, it's you have to know the maps, and you have to have a decent team. A lot of it's luck, but I was fairly decent at it. I'm still pretty good at it.
I think is it free, or aren't there free versions of it out there?
Actually, I was going to get to that. The Counter-Strike was originally a mod for Half-Life.
Yeah.
And it was absolutely free. So if you already had the mod, you had the game for free, even when it came out retail.
Well, and the game came out in 99 or something like that.
Funny story, how I actually got discovered Counter-Strike. I was at one of my best friend's house, and I had an Xbox and Halo, and I was like, oh, nothing is better than Halo. So I took the Xbox over to him, and you know that was when playing Halo like at little LAN parties and stuff like that. Well, multi-consoles was a big thing. We were playing Halo, and I was like, dude, there's nothing better than this game. This is the best first-person shooter ever. This is better than GoldenEye. And I was just, you know, ranting to him about it, how good it was. And he was like, no, it's not as good as Counter-Strike. It's like, what's Counter-Strike? Went home, found it, ruined my life. But no, Counter-Strike Source, they'll put it on sale for like $2 sometimes. It's usually $9 by itself, I believe, on Steam. Global Offensive will probably be $20.
Well, since you brought it up here, what's the deal with Half-Life 3? Are they making it?
I think Valve's just trolling people.
I think they are, too.
I think that's what's happening. I think Valve's just trolling people. Basically, the story is, you know, Half-Life 2 came out, and Valve announced that they were going to release small expansions episodically. So there's Half-Life 2 Episode 1, Half-Life 2 Episode 2, and it was supposed to conclude with Half-Life 2 Episode 3. Mm. Well, what has it been, 8 years?
It's been a while.
8 years later, something like that, there's no Half-Life 2 Episode 3, and people keep railing about it, like, if there's ever a Valve comment, like a Valve article on any website, you go to the comments, where's Half-Life 2 Episode 3? No matter what.
Well, yeah, I mean, because I thought they were supposed to make a Half-Life 3, and then the three episodes, weren't they?
No.
So I thought they were doing the three episodes and then doing a whole another game. Maybe I'm wrong.
Oh, okay, yeah, so they're supposed to do the episodes and then the game.
Yeah.
Half-Life 3.
And it's never stopped.
I guess they got their eyes on Portal too much and really focused on Portal. The engine's also really dated, so I bet you Gabe Newell was like, the engine's good, but for Half-Life 3, we need to like be Crytek. We need to break the industry.
Yeah.
You know, we have to be really something so revolutionary like Half-Life 1 and Half-Life 2 were. They're both such revolutionary games.
They were. One of my favorite things is they have a, I guess you call it like a telekinesis gun, or it's a magnet gun. I'm sorry. But you can pick up razor blades, or not razor blades.
The gravity gun?
Yeah, the grav gun. Thank you. You can pick up, I just said it, buzzsaw blades, and then shoot them back out.
Then later on, you can just pick people up and throw them.
Yeah, exactly.
So I bet you, I mean, and they might be trolling, they might not, but what Miles is talking about is recently, at some convention or some games conference, a Valve employee was wearing a Half-Life 3 shirt. And the guy took a picture of it, and it's been spreading like wildfire on the internet. No comment from Valve has been made. And
totally.
I mean, it looks like a legit logo. That's the thing about it. Like, it doesn't look fake. I mean, it's probably not fake, but I'm not mad about it. I don't think the fans will be mad about it. They just released Half-Life 3. But you have to wonder. They released Source with they released Counter-Strike Source with Half-Life 2. Counter-Strike Global Offensive is just an upgraded Source engine. It's running on the Portal 2 engine. Mm-hmm. So are they using the same source engine for Half-Life 3? Or are they going to make a new engine itself? Or entirely?
I think they need to make a whole new engine. But
Portal 2 looks gorgeous, though.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm not saying it's dated because it came out this year, but I think it'd be more of the same.
I mean, for an engine that's 10 years old, Portal 2 looks gorgeous.
It's like 10 years old. That's ridiculous. I mean, computers don't last 2 years.
Dude, my computer's almost 7 years old.
Well, I'm sorry you can't play good games then.
No, I can't play good games. It's the thing. This is a beast.
Forget us, everybody. We're going to have an argument here real quick. What's your RAM?
My RAM, 8 gigs.
Of what?
8 gigs of RAM? I don't know the speed.
DDR1, 2, 3...
Probably DDR3.
You wish it was DDR3. I call hacks. I'm calling hacks.
No, I upgraded the RAM myself. I've upgraded my computer, Miles.
I don't even freaking care anymore.
Shut up.
Counter-Strike. All right, what's your movie?
Counter-Strike's great. You need to play it, and don't rage quit and get mad. It's a learning experience.
I did.
It's a very humbling experience.
There's a bunch of mods for it, though. I saw one that looks like Mario Brothers.
Yeah, there's like a WoW mod for it, like RPG mods, a gun, like it's called a gun game, and I don't know if Call of Duty has this now? I don't think it does, where you actually have to get a kill from every gun. Yeah, Call of Duty does. That started from a mod for Counter-Strike. But yeah, play Counter-Strike. It's great. I'll play it with you. If anyone in the audience wants to play, I will play it with them. But moving on, let's get to movies. This is a movie that not many people have heard of. It came into a little small independent theater here where we live that's actually gone now. But the new theater that replaced it is showing the independent movies as well.
Are you saying this movie destroyed the movie theater? It was so good?
No. I mean, there's like 4 people in there.
Oh.
But it's called Moon. It came out in 2009, I believe. Let's double check that. Yeah, 2009. And it's got one of me and Miles' favorite actors in it, Sam Rockwell.
Love Sam Rockwell.
He does a great job. He actually won an award for this movie.
Did he?
I think.
You know, I might check it out. Sam Rockwell is awesome. If you've seen The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, he's Zaphod Beeblebrox. That's awesome.
Well, speaking of that, there's the other character in the show or in the movie is Kevin Spacey. And he's not really in it. He's actually a robot on the ship.
Okay. I was wondering where you were going with that. I was like, I don't think Kevin Spacey's in Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
No, not Hitchhiker's. It's Moon. Go back to Moon.
Yeah, I got you. I understand.
So Sam Rockwell and Kevin Spacey are in it, and they're really the only two people in the movie. So here's a plot. I won't say too much. I don't want to ruin it because there is a big twist. There's a guy who's on this space station on the moon, and his job, they're like mining moon rocks and stuff like that. They have these 3 platforms on the moon. He has to go check and make sure they work, keep them working. And he goes on, I want to think it's either 5 or 10 year missions.
Wow.
Let's see, 3 year contract. So he goes up there for 3 years, and he's up there for 3 years by himself, no one else but this little robot.
How much did he get paid for this?
A lot of money, I'd hope.
I'd hope so. That'd be a long time alone. Does the robot like talk and have a personality? Is it?
I mean, it talks to him and it tries to sympathize with him and stuff like that. But it's still a robot.
Oh.
I mean, it's the ship basically. And like, he has this little thing that comes down and like looks at him and he makes like little smiley faces. But basically, he's by himself. He's struggling with his sanity. And one day he's out, you know, patrolling the 3 platforms, and he comes across a crashed ship, like a crashed rover that he's in. So he gets up to the rover, dusts off the window, tries to open the door, and finds someone. He gets this person, takes it back on his rover, gets back to his base, and, like, the guy's still alive, and it winds up being him.
Wait, hold on. He saves himself from a rover?
Correct. Like, there's a crash rover. He rescues whoever's inside. They go back to the base, takes his helmet off, and it winds up being him.
Okay.
So you have to wonder, is he going crazy?
Mm-hmm.
Is he losing his mind? So then you have this huge thing with him just – but like both of them walking around the space station and like trying to not talk to one another. I mean, one's like really cool, and the other one's kind of like he's ready to go home. You know, he's tired of it. And they have these fights and stuff. So it's just Sam Rockwell arguing with each other. And it's great. The twist is really good. It's one of those endings that will stick with you forever.
That's crazy sounding. I mean, it's like that episode of the Next Generation when there's a space...
Star Trek alert!
Yeah, yeah. Red alert. We're going to start Red Alert. We're doing Red Alerts every time we talk about Star Trek.
Red alert? All right.
But Picard is flying in his ship. Or they're flying the Enterprise, and they pick up a shuttlecraft, and there's one life sign. It's really faint, and it's just flipping in space. They tractor it into the docking bay. They look at it, and they look over, and it's the exact same ship that's sitting next to it, but there's this one. And so they open it up, and Picard is sitting inside, and Picard's also outside the ship.
Yeah, it sounds a lot like this movie.
Mm-hmm. Except in this instance, when Picard is, they're both the same. This is not a cool one. See, I really want to ask you how it ends, but I don't want to do the spoiler for everyone else.
Yeah, but, I'll tell you once we get off. But I'll read the IMDb storyline.
Do it.
Summary. So Sam Bell has a 3-year contract to work for Lunar Industries. For the contract's entire duration, he's the sole employee based at their lunar station. His primary job responsibility is to harvest and periodically rocket back to Earth supplies of helium-3, the current clean and abundant fuel used on Earth. There is no direct communication link available between the lunar station and Earth, so his only direct real-time interaction is with Gertie, the intelligent computer whose function is to attend to his day-to-day needs. With such little human contact and all of it indirect, he feels that 3 years is far too long to be so isolated. He knows he is beginning to hallucinate as the end of his 3 years approaches. All he wants is to return to Earth to be with his wife, Tess, and their infant daughter, Eve, who was born just prior to leaving for his job. With 2 weeks to go, he gets into an accident at one of the mechanical harvesters and is rendered unconscious. And that's the end.
Wow. That sounds really good.
It's really good. Definitely check it out. It's a little indie movie.
This is called Moon.
Just called Moon.
And where can I find Moon? Is Moon on Netflix?
I really doubt digital. I know you can get the disc.
All right.
But yeah, watch it. See Sam Rockwell do some amazing acting. And there you have it. Well, Miles, any last words before we get out of here? I think we've talked about some geeky stuff enough for one show.
I think so. There's some pretty geek there. I just want to say Red Alert. It also reminds me of the episode where there's a transporter accident. Kind of weird, I know. And there becomes two Rikers.
Like, is it the episode where they have Hobo Riker?
Yes.
There's three Rikers in that episode, isn't it? Like, they keep running into all the Rikers. Like, there's like Hobo Riker. There's like the Snobby Riker.
Well, no, maybe I'm not thinking about that one. It's the one where they're trying to teleport up from a planet, and Riker makes it through. But at the same time, the transporter beam reflects back off, kind of like it's going through a prism, so there's different things alight. So you have normal Riker makes it through, and then he later goes by Thomas Riker, which is William T. Riker's middle name. Thomas gets transported back to the planet, and then they find him later. And he's kind of pissed, because he thought he got left behind.
Huh.
It's really good. Thomas actually has a couple things that he does, a couple different episodes. Because he keeps trying to take over the Enterprise for some reason. Because I think he's mad at them.
does Mr. Broccoli have to interact with him?
I love Mr. Broccoli. I am so glad he's on multiple shows.
Mr. Broccoli.
Because he wasn't in any of the movies, I don't think. He might have been in one or two of the movies. But he's in Voyager. And he might have been on Deep Space Nine for a second, like one episode or two episodes. I don't know. That's all I have to say. Red alert over. Green alert. Cancel red alert.
I need to get the the red alert noise and play it.
And I'll be in charge of the soundboard, and I will spam that. You know where
I mean, yeah, if you want to be in charge of the soundboard, go for it. It's a little hard to do.
I'm not worried about it. I'm just going to hit the red alert button all the time.
You should do
it. I'm doing
it. Well, we've talked about Tor this show, so definitely. Well, actually, I can't even tell them to join the guild anymore, Miles.
Yeah, they close it down because they're getting ready to put
they
it together.
They close it down.
By the way,
but
I met
as soon as we know
our Nemesis
ahead,
guild in person the other day.
You have what?
I met our Nemesis guild.
Really?
Yeah. She came in. She said she has a class with you. Had a class.
Oh. Sarah?
Yeah. I told her we were taking
she
her
came
down.
In where? Oh, GameStop. Came to GameStop.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Came into the place where I work.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Miles does not work at GameStop.
I don't.
Miles works at...
it's actually called Gigolo Plus. It's a...
Plus yeah, it's called Gigolo Plus. Gigolo Plus is a terrible place to work.
You know, it pays some of the bills.
Pays some of them.
Yeah.
But yeah, we'll let you know when we what our server is and everything. We'll post that up so you can come play with us. I'm super excited. I can't wait to play.
I will tell you, I will not be in the early access.
Oh, why?
I live in the mountains, and we have DSL, and it's I have a limited amount of bandwidth I can use. And downloading it takes about a fifth of it. So it goes so much quicker. We watch a lot of Netflix, which normally fills it up in general. But
I'll be looking at my statue. I'm going to wait the five days
and hoping that waiting those 5 days, it'll be a little less crowded in the starting zone as well. That's what I'm telling myself anyway. Probably won't be true.
We won't get into any Torocast discussions, but... I agree with what they're saying. I think it's just the next beta. I think the early access is just going to be another beta.
See, and this is a whole other show. But I don't know. I think that if they're not ready by the early access, people are gonna burn them.
I agree. But you know what? We'll talk about that some more later.
Yeah. Next show, we're just going to have a game section. It's going to be Torcast. Well, not next show. Whatever show comes out right after the game comes out. Like, what's your game, Tor? Tor? Oh, what's your game? Well, I'm playing Tor.
You know what? We should just get Tom on here and get Tom to do a Tor segment.
Tom said he would be jonesing to come on. He didn't actually say that at all. He's British. He didn't say jonesing. He said he would love to do it. He's also a big fan of League of Legends, so he said he'd do that too. Problem is the time difference. Either we have to wake up really early, or he have to stay up late, and I don't think he's a later stay-upper.
Well, you know what? Since this show's just me and you, I don't see that being a problem.
Well, let's do it then. I'm saying all right. 6 a.m. our time. I don't know what the time
is. You hear it, guys. You heard it first here. The GeekSync is evolving as you listen to
this. We're going early morning.
Early morning. Early morning shows. We're going to be grumpy and cranky, and you're going to be drinking coffee.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to go work on the soundboard, so I'm out.
All right. Well, guys, check out our Twitter, check out our Facebook, GeekSync Podcast, and we'll see you this time next week. And also, sorry for the shows being late, but other than me and Miles, everyone else has finals and stuff this week in class, so this might be the only show this week. But next week we'll be on track again, hopefully. Everyone's going to be done with finals. I know Miles will be a little busy with work since it's getting closer and closer to Christmas. But, yeah, we will see you guys next week. See ya.
Alert. Red alert.
Next time.